This morning's reading is taken from 1 Samuel. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and alighted from the donkey and fell before David on her face, bowing to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, O Lord, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. Now, I have to tell you, when the choir first started, Julia started on with the drum there, my mind immediately went to, this is a Phil Collins song. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I do want to have a little fun this morning. If you've ever been to a sporting event, you may have heard this song. It's always sung by the winners to the losers. It's called the goodbye song. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Do y'all know it? It goes like this. It goes, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey-hey-hey, goodbye. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, the Canes did that to the Senators yesterday in hockey, so that was nice. Although they were playing in Ottawa, so I don't think they sung that song. But it's a great song. It's actually a real song, if you didn't know it. There are actually lyrics to that song. It was a number one hit back in 1969, and the title is Na Na Hey Hey, Kiss Him Goodbye. It became a number one hit by the fictitious band called Steam. It was fictitious because the writer of the song didn't want that song, his name on that song, really. All right? He didn't want to be, this song is by, I forgot the dude's name. He said, I don't want my name to be on it. But then it became a number one hit. Now, I don't know if any of us has actually heard that song. I listened to it this week, and I'm like, oh, goodness. But we probably have heard it at a sporting event, right? Wishing the losing team a goodbye. Now, and I share that because if you can sing that song, then you can also speak just a little bit of Hebrew. Because the word na in Hebrew is the word for please. So if you can sing that song, you know a little Hebrew, you know at least one word in Hebrew, and it is this word na that means please. It's one of three words that I believe we long to hear. Please, sorry, and thank you. Because those words, they can change relationships, shape relationships, they can impact situations, they can open hearts. There's a lot of power in those words. And so each week we're going to look at one of those words. We're going to start with the word, obviously, please, today. This Hebrew word, na, which is I found very interesting when I started to research this, that if you go to the King James Version of the Bible or many other translations of the Bible, guess what you're not going to find? You're not going to find the word nah there. That word for please is not present in those translations. And it goes back, in 1607 is when they were translating. King James, said, hey, translate the Hebrew into the English. And there's all kinds of other reasons. But so the translators there were looking at the Hebrew. And every time they got to the word nah, they said, nah, we're not going to include it. And so you don't find it there. You don't find it there. And it's the same way in the New Testament as well. Many times that word was taken out. Luke 22 is a great example. In the New Revised Standard Translation, you read these words. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. But if you go to another translation, like the Living Translation, it reads this way. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And so you got to wonder, why do some translations have this word please in it and the others do not? And it really comes down to just this. Because some translators, they just considered it to be a polite particle. And so the translators wanted to make it the imperative very obvious, so they dropped the word nah. Now you English teachers can explain that much better than I can. But basically is they didn't believe that word nah was really necessary. what if they were wrong to admit it? Because again, words matter. They have power. I can think of four words that when put together have immense power. And you find them in Genesis, the very first chapter. And it begins with, then God said, and then here are the four words. Let there be light. Right? Four words. Let there be light. I mean, think about the creative power behind those words, those four words. Because in Scripture, everything comes out of word. Author Mark Batterson put it this way. He said, God doesn't just use his voice to form words. He uses words to form worlds. Everything we see was once said. And really, at the heart of Christianity is this belief, this powerful belief that we call it the Logos, right? The Word. That God was able to speak, and out of those words came everything that we know. The very beginning teachings about Christ that we find in John's gospel echoes this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. You know, John's referring to Jesus as the Word. I mean, here it is. God speaks and life begins, and life in the ancient sense, life in our hearts, life in our spiritual lives. You know, as Jesse just reminded us, you know, at Easter, you know, we celebrate Easter. It's our most important day. And so we gather, and there is this, you know, we talk about what happened. We tell the story. And in our words, we already practiced this. Jesse didn't even know I was doing this. But in our words, what do we say? He is risen and?
He is risen.
Oh, we practiced it already. Come on. We should know. We say, he is risen. In response, we say,
he is risen indeed.
And there's a power in those words. Christians all across the world on that day join in the saying of those words, pointing to that truth. I mean, the original words of God are still creating. Science points to this. Galaxies are still being formed. The universe is still expanding. And I look at it, you know, it's, in a way, it's God's four words continuing on. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. And we who are creating in God's image, all right, our words create, don't they? The way we speak, the way we talk, forms and shapes and influences. And for me, at least three words that resonate maybe the most are these words, right? Please, sorry, and thanks. So please is our word for today. It's an important word, powerful word. Many times we call it a magic word. Did you know that? When we are talking to our kids may say, hey, give me that. And we say, that's not how we say it. We use the magic word, and the magic word is please. Exactly. I mean, one of the first lessons we learn in humility is that not everything is ours. And so we're not entitled to everything. So how we ask for things, it matters. And we see that in our scripture passage, I believe, from 1 Samuel that Ed just read a moment ago. We see it in this woman named Abigail. And what she does with her words, and especially this one word. And how that one word, I believe, changes everything. Now, let me give you just a little bit of context here. So, Abigail is speaking to David. So, this is the David that killed Goliath. This is the David who becomes king later on. Now, David and his men, they have been caring for this wealthy man by the name of Nabal. They've been caring for his flocks. And the time came for them to be provisioned. And so David sends messengers to Nabal asking for help. Nabal responds with this arrogance and this insult. And his name actually, by the way, means a loser, which I think is very appropriate. Loser and fool is what it means. It's very appropriate. And this is what he says to David's request. He says, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and the meat that I have butchered for my shears and give it to men who come from I do not know where? That's his response. David is infuriated by it. He's angry by this response. And so he straps on his sword and he gathers his men and he's ready for revenge. I mean, he wants to wipe out Nabal and his servants and his whole household. But that's where Abigail enters the picture. She hears what has happened. And so she has heard what her husband David is tending to do. So she gathers food and supplies and she goes out to meet David before he reaches her household. Abigail's husband, Nabal, sorry. And this is what happens. When Abigail saw David, she hurried down from the donkey and fell before David on her face, bowing to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak into your ears and hear the words of your servant." Abigail uses the word, "Nah, please." Now, at first glance, you know, it might be something that's easy overlooked, easy to leave out of the translation. But to me, when I read it, there's power in that word. I mean, here's Abigail. She's stepping into this volatile kind of situation. David is angry. He's armed. You know, he's ready to wipe everybody out. And Abigail knows this. And so what does she do? She doesn't demand. She requests. And so she says, "Please, please, let's connect. Let's find a solution together." Please is, you know, one person asking another to help them. But see, that's what this word, the power of this word, can do. It can change the posture of the heart. It can change the posture of the heart. So it's more than good manners. It's the posture. It's like, hey, I'm not standing over you. I'm not demanding from you. I'm being humble. It's not about entitlement. I mean, it's the difference between, hey, do this for me, and hey, would you please do this for me? The request is the same, but it comes across completely different, doesn't it? One assumes authority. The other, what is it doing? It's inviting a relationship, isn't it? And this is how Abigail chooses to approach David. She could have approached him differently. I mean, she's got to save her household. She could have said, "David, you know, you're really overreacting here." But she lowers herself. She humbles herself. She honors David. So it changes, you know, it changes the posture of the heart. It also, it invites the other person to listen. Think about it. Abigail doesn't just say please out of a polite habit. It's an invitation. Please let your servant speak in your ears. Please let your servant speak in your ears. See, she understands something that many times we forget, and that is you can't force people to listen to you. But we can invite them to listen, right? People are far more likely to listen to us if we invite them, if we respect them, than if we command them. I mean, when someone orders you around, what's your first instinct? You might comply, you might do what you're asked to do, but inside, kind of the walls go up, don't they? But when someone says, "Please," it's very different. It gives space for the relationship. It gives space to invite that person to lean in and to listen. That's what she does. I mean, she invites the other person to listen. She disarms, she de-escalates, in other words. She creates that moment. I mean, you might think about it in this way. Think about a disagreement in your home. Like if I said to my wife, Mindy, "Hey, you need to listen to me right now." What do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to find my pillow outside of my bedroom door, meaning don't, you're not welcome here. We know what's going to happen. But if I said, "Hey, honey, would you please pause a moment? Would you please, I need to talk to you. Would you listen to me for a moment? I'm going to get a different kind of reaction, Anna, and a different kind of response, because the word please has this has the power to de-escalate or to lower defenses, in other words. Abigail standing in front of a man who's bent on violence, and somehow she gets him to stop and to listen. Why? Because I believe, again, power in the words. Power in this word, please, to lower that temperature, to lower the defenses. I mean, sometimes the best thing we can do in a heated moment is to introduce a different spirit. You know, when everybody's raising their voice, please has a way of lowering it, doesn't it? Lowering that temperature. When everyone's speeding up, please has a way of slowing us down and inviting us in to listen. And I believe it does because it reflects trust rather than control. All right? It reflects trust, not control. Again, it's more than being polite. We're also saying, you know what, I'm not controlling. I'm not standing over you. I mean, we like control, don't we? We like to be in control. We like certainty, things like that. I know I do. And we want things to happen when we're wound up about something. We want something to happen maybe in a certain way, by a certain time period, whatever it might be. And so we kind of get all tense and we all get all kind of tightened up. But please is the opposite. So, you know what? I'm not in control of this. I'm dependent upon you. So please, right? Please help me. Please, whatever it might be. And so it's reflecting an element of trust rather than control. It's kind of like, holding something in your hand. So take your hands. You know, when you're holding something in your hand, you're holding, we got maybe something small and we're holding onto it, and what do? We hold onto it tightly, don't we? All right? And when we hold on to something tightly, we're getting tense, aren't we? We're not going to let it go for anything, and it just sort of tenses us up, doesn't it? That's what, holding on to it tight. We got to control this, got to hold on tightly to this. But please is the opposite. Please is, right? It's the opening up of our hands in a way. It doesn't mean, it's not that we don't care or that this is not important. It's just like, I'm going to hold it differently. I'm offering you, I'm inviting you. I'm lowering the temperature. I'm not insisting. I'm leaving room, all right, for a change, for something different, for God to do something in that moment maybe. I mean, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus doesn't coerce. Jesus invites, doesn't he? He says, come and follow me. Come and drink from this. Anyone who is thirsty, come and take up your cross. It's always an invitation. It's not coercion. Because God doesn't shout us into the kingdom. God invites us. Right? And please just echoes that, I believe. And so this is how Abigail chooses to respond to act in this situation with humility, all right? And so she chooses her words carefully. Please. She invites David to listen, and he does. Because this is what it goes on to say. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. Blessed be your good sense, and blessed be you who have kept me today from blood guilt and from avenging myself by my own hand. Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. And he said to her, go up to your house in peace. See, I have heeded your voice, and I have granted your petition. And so a disaster is avoided, isn't it? Lives are spared, and David's future is actually protected. And it begins, why? Because this one woman choosing in how she was going to approach David. And the words that she used, and the wisdom she had to say, please. So here's what I want you to think about. I want to think about, where have your words become maybe sharp? Maybe where have your words become demanding? Maybe where have your words become transactional? In your workplace, think about maybe at home, with family members, maybe with some friends, maybe even at church. Think about that, where your words have become sharp, demanding, transactional. So what would it look like this week if you intentionally practiced this small but powerful word. Now, not out of habit, all right, but really, really make it be from the heart. What do you think would happen when the initial reaction is to maybe to demand or to get all tense? We open our hand and we begin maybe with the word please. What impact might that have? And we all got those places, or maybe when we relating to maybe a certain, whatever. Maybe intentionally this week, start with this one powerful word. Again, not out of habit, not out of politeness, right? But as a way of changing, you know, the posture, the temperature. Choosing to be humble. Right? Choosing to value that other person, to respect that other person. And in Hebrew, it's just two letters, nah. Easy to miss, easy to dismiss, easy to underestimate, or to even skip over, not even translate. But unlike that song, hey, hey, goodbye, this is not about pushing people away or putting them down. It's not about declaring a winner and a loser. It's about inviting a conversation. Maybe a different kind of outcome, a different resolution. Invites people to listen. It de-escalates. It creates space for peace. So, again, think about the words that you use this week. Instead of words that push people away, it's the word we lean into, words, especially this word, that pulls people closer. This powerful word, small word, but powerful word, please. Let us pray. Gracious God, you speak to us not with force, but you speak to us with invitation. You call us, you draw us, you patiently wait for us to respond. And yet so often our words do not reflect that at all. We rush, we demand, we try to control. As Lord, teach us a better way. Give us maybe the humility that we find in Abigail, the wisdom to pause, the courage to approach gently, the grace to say please with sincerity. So this week, as you place people in our paths, remind us of the power of this very simple word and how it might open a door, invite a conversation, even begin to bring some healing to some hurt or peace to someone. So Lord, may our words draw others closer. And what we say and what we do, may we reflect the image that we were created in. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.